بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We continue, Ikhwan, with the instances during the Meccan phase of the arguments of the Mushrikun from among Quraysh with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the various manners in which they would approach him in order to disprove his prophethood. Indeed, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, from that which was revealed upon him from the Quran, that which was revealed caused, Ikhwan, much from confusion as it related to the Arab. From them were those who knew that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in fact all of them knew that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was al-Amin, was trustworthy. And indeed, they knew that he was never one to lie prior to his claim of prophethood, and why then would he lie upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam received the ayat and received revelation, as we mentioned, they used various asalib. From those asalib and from those methods and those approaches was that they would attempt to punish the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first and foremost, and those who were alongside them from the believers, and so they were physically harmed. Similarly, that we had the musawama, and that is the attempt to bribe those who were protecting the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he lost the protection that he received from Abu Talib and the likes, then of course he would weaken the structure that is around him, and it would be easier to overpower him and his da'wah. And so that similarly didn't work, and so they used the method, Ikhwan, and the uslub of istihza, and that is that they would ridicule the believers in various manners. Of course, ridiculing first and foremost the Messenger alayhi salatu salam. Likewise, they would use al-tanabud bil-alqab, that they would dispraise the Messenger by calling him names that, for the one who was unaware and the one who was unacquainted, you may believe that that may possibly be true. Sahir, magician, poet, kahin, soothsayer. And of course, they would couple that with mentioning that the statements that come from him, this Quran, that we're unable to explain it and it has a strong effect and a potent effect upon the Arab. And from the best of them were those who follow his way, and thus it is magic that he is performing. Or they would say, مثلاً, that he was a kahin, he was a soothsayer, and that he was one who received nothing but the statements of shayateen, the statements of devils. And so they would approach him, as occurred on an occasion when the revelation stopped for a number of days. They approached him saying that your devil he has stopped coming to you now. Yani, has your devil stopped approaching you now? And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed what duha. And within that, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that indeed your Lord has not cut you off, neither has He abandoned you. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal retorted and responded to their statements by establishing that indeed it was His Lord and not anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the claims, Ikhwan, that they made against him, likewise, was that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he received this book from individuals that he would sit with. People from the people of the book. And a narration that establishes that is a narration that Sheikh Muqbil declares authentic in his Sahih Asbab al-Nuzul. And that is a narration related to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَقَدْ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that indeed we know that they say that it is a human being that teaches him. The narration was one that was collected by Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala, and in the narration Imam al-Tabari, after mentioning his chain of narration going back to Abdullah ibn Muslim al-Hadrami radiallahu anhu, he mentioned أنه كان لهم عبدان من أهل عير في اليمن. That indeed there were two, or they used to own, as Abdullah ibn Muslim al-Hadrami mentions, they used to own two slaves who were captured from a group of people from a caravan from Yemen. And there were two small boys, one of them whose name was Yasar and the other whose name was Jabr. And some narrations mention that the other boy, his name was Khayr. One Yasar and one Khayr. And they used to recite the Torah. And they were Ajami, they were non-Arabs, and they would recite they were affiliated or acquainted with the tongue of the Arab. But what is most correct is that they were non-Arabs. And they would recite the Torah, and the Messenger of Allah would listen to them. And he would listen to the recitation of the Torah. And so the disbelievers among Quraysh, they used to say that indeed he sits with them and he listens to them so as to learn from them. Sits with them and he listens to them so as to learn from them. And Allah Azza wa Jal responded, لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِي, that the lisan or the tongue of the one who they claim, Allah Azza wa Jal in refuting the statement of theirs, the tongue of the one who they refer to is أَعْجَمِي, yani is non-Arab. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that this though, as far as yani this Quran, it is lisanun Arabi mubin. Lisanun Arabi mubin. It is clear and pure Arabic language. And that then is an indication of the fact that the statement in and of itself is batil, is null and void, and is false from a number of angles. Firstly, the statement of theirs, number one, is one that revolves around them saying that the Prophet ﷺ, he took from these individuals. And if that was the case, then why is it that the Prophet ﷺ is the only one that had this knowledge? If that was the case, if there were these boys, they used to recite the Torah, and they used to teach individuals, why is it the Messenger alone is the one, ikhwan, that had this ilm, yani this knowledge that the Messenger alayhi salatu salam had, and that is by way of the Quran. Similarly, if that was the case, then why is it that the tongue, or how is it that the tongue of these boys was ajami, and in that which the Prophet sallam, or that which they, or he heard them reciting, was ajami. It wasn't Arab. It wasn't even Arabic at all. And so the Messenger listening to them, and listening to them, if for example one of us were to listen to a Yahudi reciting the Torah, then the fact that we listen to them doesn't mean anything, because we don't even understand what it is they're saying. It is a recitation that may be interesting, in that one may be interested to hear how the Torah sounds, for example, in the Hebrew language. But as far as it being said or it being claimed that on the basis of that istima' and on the basis of listening to that, that we now have the ability to bring about a book that is in the purest, most eloquent of the tongue of the Arab that is known, and to bring about a book that has in it ahkam and rulings that oppose the book of Allah, oppose their book, and that has in it that which from halawa and from sweetness and from beauty is not present in any of the ash'ar of the Arab, much less any of the books of the non-Arab. Not any of the poetry of the Arab. None of it has the sweetness and the beauty that is present within the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. How can it then be said that all of this was just taken from the Prophet ﷺ listening to two boys who used to recite the Quran, recite the Torah, possibly making mistakes in their recitation? How then can it be said that this beauty and this fasaha was taken from that? And as we mentioned, ikhwan, we have in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that which opposes that which is in the Torah in many and in numerous places. Why is it that if it were that they were taught, or they were the teachers of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why didn't they disprove the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? And why didn't they claim that he learnt from us, but he opposes what we say? If it is that they were the teachers of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed in the Quran that which dispraises the Yahud and dispraises the kufr that they fell into. Why then didn't these Shabab and didn't these two youth, when they heard this dispraise for the Yahud, why didn't they defend the deen that they were upon? And why didn't they say that this man, he's learnt from us, and now he opposes us and he goes against what we say? And the question that has to be raised is, how would the messenger know or be acquainted with Hebrew? It was well known that he didn't know Hebrew, the Hebrew language. He wasn't acquainted with Hebrew. So how then can it be said that he took from this recitation? And that, without doubt, is something that Allah Azza wa Jal disproves, ikhwan, in one ayah. That indeed the lisan and the tongue that they point towards and the tongue that they're indicating is a'jami. And this is lisanun arabiyyun mubin. This is pure Arabic language. And so, ikhwan, that is sufficient as a rad. That is sufficient as a rad. If I sat down and listened to a man that was reciting a book in German, or reciting a book in Dutch, and I don't have a clue about the German or the Dutch language, and then I write a book, or I author a book, and it is said that I took from them, how possibly could I have took from them? How possibly, when I didn't even understand the language, I didn't even understand what it was they were saying? And so the claim, ikhwan, is one that is batil, yet still the mushrikun from among the Arab, and they're desperate, ikhwan, to find any issue or any mas'ala that they, by way of it, can disprove that which the Messenger of Allah brought. Of course, ikhwan, they would try their utmost to disprove the revelation of the Qur'an and disprove that Allah Azza wa Jal truly was the one that revealed this Qur'an to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. From the arguments that they presented to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and some of them are feeble arguments and some of them are attempts that are better than others, though all of them in essence are feeble attempts at dispraising the Messenger and at disproving the fact that he's a messenger of Allah. From those attempts is that they said and they argued, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنَ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. If, or why didn't the Qur'an, or why wasn't the Qur'an revealed upon him, جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا? Why wasn't it revealed upon him all at once? Yani, if he was a messenger, you know, we hear of the other prophets and messengers from Bani Israel, and those who were followed by Bani Israel, they received the book all at once. And so why then was the messenger, why was his book received over the period of a number of years? Why is it that he receives a part now, a part later? Yani, why is this? Why doesn't he receive the book all at once? Allah Azza wa Jal, without doubt, ikhwan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he responds to this statement of theirs in order number one, disprove it, and to establish why the Quran was revealed over a period. وَكَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, thus did we reveal it, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, in order to establish your heart, or establish it in your heart. And that, of course, ikhwan, is greater in establishing the book of Allah in the heart of the one who receives it and takes it over a period of 23 years, as opposed to receiving it all at once. The effect of the Qur'an continues over the period of his prophethood, as opposed to receiving it all at once. And then a person or the one who receives it, the believers, they become acquainted with it relatively short period of time. And it is possible, ikhwan, that the effect would differ from the effect that is present within their hearts over, while it is revealed over a period of 23 years. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Thus we revealed it to you in order to make your heart firm, or to establish it firm in your heart. And that then was from the wisdoms and from the benefits of the revelation of the Qur'an over the 23 year period. In fact, the Qur'an was revealed all at once, but not upon the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. It recurs in a hadith in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revealed the Qur'an, or received the Qur'an all at once, or that it was revealed, afwan, all at once, to the Bayt al-Izzah, and that is the house that is above the Kaaba in the heavens. It was revealed all at once. And then it was revealed piecemeal from the Bayt al-Izzah over the 23 year period. And the narration indicates the fact that it was revealed on the 24th night of Ramadan. That he received it, it was revealed on the 24th night of Ramadan. And therefore, the Qur'an, it was revealed all at once, But Allah Azza wa Jal from the Bayt al-Izzah revealed it or sent the verses upon the Messenger for wisdoms, ikhwan, for great wisdoms that are with Allah Azza wa Jal. And from those wisdoms is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to establish that firmly in the heart of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and the heart of the believers. Of course, when the Quran is revealed over a period and the believers they hear it, the believers they receive it, the believers they see how Allah Azza wa Jal deals with the arguments of the mushrikeen, the believers they learn and they benefit, numerous benefits they are given, and they increase in wisdom on the basis of the manner in which Allah Azza wa Jal addresses them and Allah instructs them. They increase in knowledge of how to give da'wah, how to respond to the khasum, how to respond to one's opponent, and how to deal with and answer the shubuhat and the doubts that are posed against the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is from the benefits that one receives. Similarly, in relation to the ahkam and the rulings, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed those rulings over a period, and with some of them they were revealed gradually, that they may be acquainted with the ruling. And then Allah Azza wa Jal abrogated some of that which was revealed to make the affair easy for them. Sometimes the affair was revealed heavy and then it was lightened in order to show the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so of course when they see that mercy from Allah subhanahu, then it increases them in love and nearness to Allah and drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many wisdoms in the Quran being revealed over a period of time. Those wisdoms would not have been achieved if it was revealed to them all at once. And whenever the mushrikun of Quraysh would approach, Allah Azza wa Jal would reveal ayat, would reveal verses from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the believers, ikhwan, they would benefit from the manner in which Allah Azza wa Jal revealed those verses. Similarly, from the arguments or from the affairs that the mushrikun of Quraysh, they argued with the Messenger of Allah concerning, was that which is related, ikhwan, to al-qada'i wal-qadar. That they debated with the Messenger of Allah concerning qadar, concerning the pre-decree. The argument that they had concerning the pre-decree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to their argument with his statement, "Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar," that indeed every single thing we have created it with a decree. Everything, any that exists, we created it with a decree. And so the verses then that indicate or that make mention of the affair of Qadr were relatively early. And the affair of Qadr was not an affair, ikhwan, that they received later. Or that it was a complicated affair that was difficult for them to receive. And so it was something that was revealed, mathalan, in Medina. Rather, it was from the usul of the deen, from the usul of the religion, and therefore it was given to them early. Just as a knowledge of the book and a mention of the verses that discuss the books, discuss the messengers, discuss the malaika and the pillars of iman, they came down all at once or in the earlier stages. We similarly have the mention of qadr and the pre-decree being revealed upon the Messenger of Allah from an early stage. And so the pillars of iman, ikhwan, they received them early. And they had those pillars of iman fortified in their hearts in the early stages in Mecca. And as we mentioned, ikhwan, we're still dealing with the first 4 years of the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani first 4 to 5 years of the da'wah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Kadhalika, ikhwan, from the ayat and from the verses that were revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were those verses that related to another one of the forms of questioning that they had. For indeed the mushrikun of Quraysh, they decided that since we were unable, and we are unable to overpower him in argument, and since it is difficult for us to bring something that he's unable to answer, let us go to the people of the book. For indeed they are a people of knowledge and they are a people of ilm. And so let us approach the people of the book and ask them concerning what questions we should pose to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they approached the people of the book, and that in what is most correct occurred, ikhwan, in the Meccan period. And that is it was not that that occurred in Medina, certainly after the Messenger of Allah had made the migration from Mecca to Medina. Rather, they traveled to the people of the book in order to ask them. And that indicates, Ikhwan, the desire that they had to finish the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They traveled to Medina and to the regions where the people of the book existed. And so they said, explaining the fact that in our region there is an individual that claims prophethood. What is it that we should ask him? Yani that if we're able to flummox him with a question, then that would overpower his da'wah and prove that he is a false prophet. And so they said, ask him concerning three affairs. They approached him. When they approached, they said, ask him, saluhu an thalatha. Ask him about three things. The first of them, they said, saluhu an ruh. Ask him about the ruh. And they said, wasaluhu an dhul qarnayn. And ask him about dhul qarnayn. And they said, na'am, about the ruh, ask him about the qarnayn, and ask him about the fitya. Ask him about the youth min al-dahr al-ula, or al-dahr al-awwal. Ask him about the youth from the earlier times that took refuge in a cave. The believing youth from the earlier times that took refuge in a cave. As far as the affair then, they believed that they were now equipped and ready. And we have that which the Messenger will not be able to answer, since these are tricky questions. Even the people of the book, they knew. And that's why they gave them to us. And so they returned to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, Ya Muhammad, inform us about the ruh. Inform us about the soul. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed the verses, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوْتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They ask you about the ruh, as it says in Surah Al-Isra. They ask you about the ruh. They ask you about the soul. Say, the soul is from the affair of my Lord. وَمَا أُوْتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And you were not given concerning the ruh, concerning the soul, from knowledge illa qalila, except a little. And of course, Ikhwan, the people of the book, they would be acquainted with that. And so, if it were then that the messenger was a false messenger, he would probably attempt to answer the question and to go into detail. The ruh is its existence that exists in the body, and it is X, Y, and Z. But when the Messenger of Allah received the question, he responded with that which is most correct. يسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. They ask you about the ruh. Say, the ruh is from the affair of your Lord, and you were not given from ilm إلا قليلا. You were not given from ilm concerning the ruh other than a little. And that is without doubt, Ikhwan, something that up to the present time people still argue and still study the affair of the ruh. Does mankind have a soul? And even from those who are disbelieving atheist scientists, they do say that they are confused concerning whether or not mankind has a soul, because their experiments show, and it is constantly a theory and an experiment, their experiments show that at the time of death, the point of death, that human beings lose, I believe it's some 28 grams in weight at the time of death, or at their point of death. And so they're confused concerning what it is this 28 grams is, or 23 grams, or some grams. In any case, the human body becomes lighter at the time of death. And so they argue, and some of them hold that that actually may well be the soul that these believing folk believe in. In any case, Ikhwan, the ruh, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned concerning it, وَمَا أُوْتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You have not been given from knowledge of the soul other than a little. far as the affair of Dhul Qarnayn and the affair of the Ashab al-Kahf, that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed Surah al-Kahf. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned concerning the youth, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ. Allah mentions that indeed they were a youth or a group of youth who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance, and Allah revealed the story of the Ashab al-Kahf. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظٌ وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that they took to the cave and Allah made them go to sleep for 309 years, and that you would believe them to be awake while they were in actuality asleep. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. And that we made their bodies turn to the left and turn to the right. And some of Ahlul Ilm mentioned, so as to not be fossilized in the 309 years that they were there, and their eyes were left open. And Allah Azza wa Jal informs us, لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمْ وُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. That if you were to come across them, then you would be filled with fear. If you were to see them, you would be filled with fear, and you would flee from them because of ru'ab, out of yani fright. So Allah Azza wa Jal informed concerning their affair, and as far as Dhul Qarnayn, then Allah Azza wa Jal similarly revealed, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ, and they ask you about Dhul Qarnayn, and then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions and describes the story of Dhul Qarnayn and his journeys to the east and to the west. Therefore, the questions, ikhwan, that they pose every time, even with these issues, even with these questions, they were unable, ayyuhal ikhwa, to ask a question by way of which they were able to stump the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed from the believing, or from the Arab, from the Mushrikun of Quraysh, were those who actually believed that the Messenger of Allah, what he said was true, and we mentioned examples of that. From them, ikhwan, were those who were people of knowledge. From them, the likes of Umayyah ibn Abi Salt. Umayyah ibn Abi Salt, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed verses concerning him. Umayyah ibn Abi Salt was a person from among them. He was a sha'ir, he was a poet, but he was also a person who was well versed and who was well acquainted with other branches of knowledge that the majority of the Arab in Mecca and in that region were unacquainted with. He was a person who was traveled, a person who was considered a person of knowledge among them. And so he had knowledge of the book, knowledge of previous scripture, though he was not a person of the book per se, and he was not a Christian or a Jew. But he had knowledge of the scripture. And so when the Messenger of Allah was sent, as Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that he knew of the signs of the coming of this prophet, he knew of the miracles, he knew of his followers, he was acquainted with that, though he was not a Christian or Jew. And so when Allah Azza wa Jal sent the Messenger of Allah, Umayyah ibn Abi Salt, rather than following that which he knew from the signs that were clear and the signs that he was acquainted with, rather than taking up and following the way of the Messenger of Allah, those signs he saw clearly in him, he rejected that which had come from the Messenger of Allah, and he rejected that he was a messenger. Rather, he took sides with the Mushrikun, and in fact he wrote lines of poetry, eulogies for them after they passed away and after they were killed after the Battle of Badr and what have you, or during the Battle of Badr and what have you. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed concerning him, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Recite to them the affair of the one who we gave him our signs. That is, the one who we gave him knowledge of the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, knowledge of the coming of the Messenger, knowledge of the Prophet, knowledge of what would occur, though he was not from the people of the book. And he abandoned that. He abandoned them and followed the shaitan. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. And so he was from among those who were misguided. And Allah mentions, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَأْنَاهُ بِهَا. If we willed, we would have raised him by way of that. Yani, we would have raised him by way of the knowledge that he had and by way of him being guided and giving the or being given the tawfiq to follow the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walakin akhlada ila al-ard wa taba'a hawa. What Allah mentions, rather he clung to the earth and he followed his desires. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentions his example and his mathal. فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْحَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكُهُ يَلْحَثْ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions his example then is the example of the kalb, the example of the dog. If you shoo him, he lulls out his tongue. And if you leave him, he lulls out his tongue. Yeah, and he just pants. That is the only thing that he does, regardless of what you do. Show him, leave him, he does the same. Yani jahil. Even though he has ilm. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that was the example of the one who disbelieves in our ayat. Faqsus al-qasas. And so narrate to them the stories. And so the verse, it was revealed concerning Umayyah ibn Abi Salt, who was given a knowledge of the book, but rejected that knowledge and rather preferred to follow the way of the mushrikun and to follow the disbelievers and to raise and praise them as opposed to following that which he had knowledge of prior to the coming of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No doubt from the affairs, ikhwan, that the mushrikun of the Arab, that which will establish the truthful nature of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, was the bet that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu he had with some of the mushrikun. And this was, as Ahl al-Ilm mentioned, prior to the prohibition of betting. And that was that there was a period during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein the mushrikun from among the people of Faris, the people of Persia, entered into a war with the Byzantine Christians. And so the Christians warring with the Persians caused the people of Mecca to take sides with one of those two parties. Of course, the mushrikun from among the Arab, they took the side of the mushrikun from among the Persians. They said, we're a people of shirk and polytheism. And the believers, they were rooting for the people of the book to win, for the Christians to win, since they were a people of scripture. And so, when the Romans were overpowered, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, based upon the verses that were revealed, غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين. He heard the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla that the Romans were overpowered. Fi adna al-ard. In the adna al-ard. It occurred in the Dead Sea Basin. The war took place in the Dead Sea Basin, which is adna al-ard. Literally on the face of the earth. It is the lowest, in terms of the sea level, it is the lowest part of anywhere on earth. It has the lowest, in terms of sea level, the lowest part of the dunya. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, fi adna al-ard. How would the Messenger of Allah have known that that is the lowest part of the earth? In any case, fi adna al-ard. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibun. But they, after they were overpowered, they shall overpower. After they were overcome, they shall overcome. That is, the Romans shall overcome the Persians. Again, في بضع سنين, in a number of years. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله عنه, on the basis of that which he revealed, and of course he is as-Siddiq, and so on the basis of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed that they should overpower, he bet one of the mushrikun, I'll make a bet with you that the Romans are going to overpower. And so he made a bet that they would overpower them in 5 years. And in 5 years' time, there was no overpowering. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he lost the bet and he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him of what took place. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "So why did you say 5 years? He said, "Al-bid'a is that which is less than 10. And so 7 years later, the Romans overpowered the Persians. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "You should have waited, or shouldn't have been hasty." And so here then, on the basis of what was revealed, the mushrikun, they observed that truly, what the Prophet ﷺ had received was haqq. Because how would he know that the Romans would then come back and overpower in a number of years, and in a number that was less than 10? How would the Prophet ﷺ have known? And so again we find that constantly, ikhwan, they were given that which established to them the fact that the messenger truly was the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly, from the verses, ikhwan, that were revealed, and from the verses that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given, were those verses that, as it relates to the da'wah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those verses were in Allah azza wa jal corrected the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, either in something that he had intended to do or something that he actually did, and particularly as it relates to the da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From that, of course, ikhwan, we mentioned previously the gathering wherein the mushrikun, they decided, after all of this questioning and after all of the issues that we've posed to him and his ability to respond to them all, that will give him an opportunity to sit with us and to listen. But he must listen to us when he is alone. That is, he must listen to us alone, without the presence of these riffraff that are with him. These lowly ones, these weak ones from among the people who live here in Mecca. And so they approached the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that indeed we will listen to you, but tatrud ha'ula, but repel these ones, that you sit with us and it's just us. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he revealed, وَلَا تَتْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاءَةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. Allah mentions, do not, and reveal, do not repel those who call upon their Lord in the day and in the night, يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ, seeking the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Indeed, you have no part of their hisab, no part of their reckoning, and they have no part of your reckoning. فَتَتْرُدْعُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned, so as to repel them and thus be from among the wrongdoers. And so Allah Azza wa Jal reproached the messenger in his intent. And as we mentioned previously, ikhwan, of course, the messenger's intent was one that was good. His thinking, of course, was that if we give them an opportunity to listen, and they actually did listen and embrace, these are the heads of Quraysh, if they embrace Islam, then of course the people, ikhwan, would follow. Many of the people would follow, since everyone follows what they do. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, in the reproach of Allah Azza wa Jal to his messenger and the correction of Allah Azza wa Jal to his messenger, we have in that, ikhwan, that which returns back to a benefit as it relates to the da'wah. And that is that the da'wah, ikhwan, there is no privilege that is given to anyone as it relates to this da'wah. As it relates to the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all human beings are one and the same. No one is given any special privilege when it comes to the da'wah to Allah azza wa jal. And that was something, ikhwan, that was established early. This da'wah, there's no one that is given privilege because of who you are, or your bloodline, or your lineage, or your tribe, or your position, or your status, or the wealth that you possess. No one. The da'wah ila Allah Azza wa Jal is one and the same. And that has in it, ikhwan, a clear indication of the fact that the da'wah of the prophets and the messengers was for the people. And that it didn't concentrate upon leadership, or concentrate upon notables, or people who had notoriety. It was for everyone. And those who had position, in that was a discipline for them. That you are not considered special because of what you possess. And in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, then you're no better than anyone else. And either you receive the da'wah as everyone else received it, or you follow your whim and you follow your hawa, and the recompense that is coming will come. The recompense that is coming to you will come. But as far as special treatment because of who you are, fala. Because then when you embrace and you become Muslim, then you become Muslim expecting special treatment. And that would inevitably have been the case. That they would have entered Islam, and they would have entered expecting to be treated special, just as they were treated special and were given special treatment when they were given da'wah. And that is not how they are to be nurtured. And that, brothers and sisters, is an important point, an important benefit. Likewise, it is important, an important benefit for the one who embraces Islam and may have been a person of wealth or position or status, that you shouldn't expect that because of your wealth and position and status or your tribe or your lineage, you shouldn't now expect that when you embrace or you begin to practice, that you expect and deserve special treatment because of who you are. And that is of major importance, Ikhwan. And it is something that we find many of the brothers and sisters falling into. It occurs, for example, when someone famous embraces Islam, or someone who was a celebrity prior to them becoming Muslim embraces Islam, that they are raised and given special treatment, and it is a fitna for them. It is a trial for them. For indeed they are given a station, Ikhwan, that oftentimes they don't deserve. And what occurs is that on the basis of it, it affects them and it affects their practice of the religion. Rather than studying, rather than humbling themselves, rather than knowing that they are babies in the deen, they see that subhanAllah, Ahlul Islam have raised them. And they have position and status, and they are considered yani great among the Muslimun. And so it is a trial and it is a fitna for them. Exactly. And that is what occurs, that it is likewise a fitna for the Shabab. That the Shabab are affected by them more than they are affected by a person who has gone away and a person who has drank from the stream and from the spring of ilm and has sat with the inheritors of the prophets and taken it from them. Yani that individual, Ikhwan, is raised over and above the one who should actually be taken from and sat with. The people should be gathering around that individual and taking from him. But we find, Ikhwan, them being greater in number than if one of the inheritors themselves were to come to this country. If one of the inheritors were to come to the country, then the turnout for them is sometimes greater than the turnout for one of the true inheritors of the prophets and the messengers. And that is a musibah. That is a trial, Ikhwan, and a fitna, and a mushkil, and a problem. And then that individual, when he speaks, he doesn't speak on the basis of ilm. Na'am. If he remains in the realms, for example, of his experience, or of that which occurred when he entered Islam, or the feeling that he had, for example, then that is one affair. But the mushkil and the problem is, some of them enter into speaking, Ikhwan, outside of their realm. We have, for example, the preacher who had a position and a status in his church, and then when he becomes Muslim, he is raised because of the fact that he was a preacher. And it is a fitna for him. He doesn't understand that this is not what I should be given. Why? Because he sees those who he honors and respects from among the Muslimun raising him. Oh, he used to be a preacher. He used to be a man of knowledge from the people of the book. And so we now give him status. And Ikhwan, that is a grave mistake. And so we have now the jahil. We have now the jahil giving da'wah and claiming to call to Allah Azza wa Jal. And his da'wah, Ikhwan, is a combination of tajahum and ash'ariya, and something from Sufiya, and Ikhwaniya, and it is a big melting pot, Ikhwan, of all types of bid'ah and dalalat and khuza'balat, alongside being a big comedian. And that, Ikhwan, is a great and a grave mistake and a grave error. And that, brothers and sisters, without doubt, is a fitna for the one who is followed and a fitna for those who follow. And so now we see individuals such as that having huge views on YouTube and then click on the alim from the ulama of Ahl Sunnah, or click on the talib ilm al-mutamakkin, the strong student of knowledge, and see if he has a tenth of the views that individual receives. Fitna. Fitna, Ikhwan. Naam. Similarly, from the examples of that is that which occurred, Ikhwan, with Ibn Ummi Maktoum. Ibn Ummi Maktoum, when he desired Islam, the Prophet ﷺ, on an occasion, he was giving some da'wah to Ubay ibn Khalaf. Ubay ibn Khalaf, the brother of Umayyah ibn Khalaf, both of them kuffar, and both of them arrogant, haughty, mushrikun. And so he was giving da'wah to this individual, and Ibn Ummi Maktoum, he approached and wanted Islam, wanted deen. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he turned away from him while giving da'wah to this individual, who appeared to be listening somewhat. And so he turned away from Ibn Umm Maktoum and continued giving him da'wah. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed ayat and verses from the Quran reproaching the Messenger of Allah for what he did. عَبَثَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى, that he frowned and he turned away when the blind man came to him. And what will let him know that perhaps he would be purified? Allah Azza wa Jal revealed verses indicating clearly that the Prophet ﷺ, his action or his... though, of course, Ikhwan, we can understand why the Messenger would possibly have done so. Again, he is considering the Islam of this individual. If he comes, then number one, he may possibly have a knock-on effect with the other notables of Quraysh. Or at the very least, people will follow him. That he himself is an individual who has followers. The Messenger of Allah, it is understood why he would possibly, when the blind man came to him, he turned away in order to continue with giving da'wah to Ubay. But Allah Azza wa Jal reproached him for that. That was incorrect. Allah Azza wa Jal corrected him in that regard. And that then, Ikhwan, is from the, again, a benefit for the du'at and the callers to Allah Azza wa Jal, that guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am, the guidance of irshad is at the hands of the one who calls, but true guidance, the guidance of tawfiq, is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it may be that when a person is giving da'wah to a number of individuals, he concentrates upon one of them because he may possibly be, masalan, the most influential, or the ringleader, or the one that they will follow, but it may not necessarily be the one that is going to take on board the deen, or going to be from the first of those who take on board the deen. And so our concentration then should be upon the one who listens. Our concentration should be upon the one who inclines towards Islam and inclines towards deen, regardless of whether he is the most notable among them or whether he is the one that is the lowly one, that the whole of their like, that they riddle and mock ridicule. Rather, it may be that he's the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla has written guidance for, and the one whose heart takes on board the guidance and he inclines towards it, and there are clear signs. And that is something that may occur, Ikhwan, oftentimes, that we turn away from that individual even though he's the most promising. And we concentrate upon the one who is the most flamboyant and the apparent leader among them, even though he's the one that is the most distant. And again, all of these affairs, Ikhwan, are issues that we must consider, must pay attention to as it relates to our giving da'wah and our calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it relates then to this affair, Ikhwan, one of the constant statements of the mushrikun among the Arab is that they used to say concerning the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when they ran out of things to say, they started to make statements, ikhwan, that were in essence foolish. And from those statements is that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in more than one place in the Quran that they say, or that they used to say, أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرَ الرَّسُولَ. Will Allah Azza wa Jalla send a man as a Rasul? Allah Azza wa Jalla sent a man as a messenger. And that then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, since it occurred, ikhwan, on more than one occasion that they would make that statement, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسُ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا. That indeed nothing prevented the people from believing when huda and when guidance came to them, except that they said, will Allah Azza wa Jal send a bashar, send a human being as a messenger? And Allah Azza wa Jal responds to that statement of theirs, لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكَ الرَّسُولَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, if there were on earth malaika, angels, walking around in tranquility, then we would have sent down upon them an angel as a rasul. Yani if it were that there were angels, Allah Azza wa Jal wouldn't send a human being as a clear sign and as something that was clear to them. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal will send down one of their like. Will send down to them someone from themselves. And so the one who believes, he believes on the basis of the fact that he recognizes that it is truth. Not because of the fact that there was some amazing occurrence that took place that was يعني, categorical in establishing that truly that could only have come from Allah Azza wa Jal. And for indeed the affair of Iman, ikhwan, Iman, the origin of Iman is that it revolves around things that we do not see. Things that that are obscure to us, but we believe in it because of the clear signs and the dalalat that indicate it. And thus the rejection of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, it continued. Regardless of the arguments that they brought and the manner in which Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to him ayat, responding to their shubuhat and to their doubts and to their claims and their statements, their rejection continued. The kufr continued. Them rejecting and belying the messenger, it continued. The persecution continued. The istihza and the ridicule and the trial and the tribulation and the hardship continued. To the extent, ayyuhal ikhwah, that the believers found remaining among them difficult. They found continual existence in Mecca a trial. Something that they were no longer able to persevere with. And thus we had the legislation of one of the migrations that were made by the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that first migration, which was not the migration to Medina, but a migration that occurred before that, we'll discuss that insha'Allah in next week's session. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.